everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is episode number 57, and what we're going to talk about today is time management. In order for us to be able to build a legacy, we need to be able to use the time that we have that God has given to us in the most productive means possible. And so that's what we're going to talk about, some tips and hints that I have learned along the way. Although I have not mastered them, they are things that I have been working on and things that I have learned that help in that process. We're going to talk about that today, so it should be a good show for you. But before we do that, I want to direct you to some of the updates. Be sure that you're following us on the website and that you are a registered user of the website. That enables you to have access to the email updates that notifies you as to when there are changes and when there are new programs that have come out, that kind of thing. And registering is really easy. Just go on the website, on the right column, there's a place there where it says register, and that gets you all into the system, and it won't be, you know, spam emails or nothing like that. And it'll just enable you to have updates through email. And that's great. It also allows you to comment on each of the shows, which I would encourage you to provide me with feedback. Best way to get feedback to me, though, although I love comments, appreciate those of you who have done that, best way to give comments is through email. You can email me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com and give me your feedback, whether you like the show, don't like the show, what's going on, what things you'd like to hear, anybody you'd like me to interview, that kind of thing. I would appreciate that. That helps you keep in contact with me, so it's just not one-sided monologue, but it's actually a dialogue, and I would encourage you to do that. And then be sure you're following us on all the social media. I apologize. My YouTube link had been wrong and for some reason wasn't going to the right place, so I apologize for that. I've got that fixed now. But follow us on YouTube and Twitter and on Facebook. And then if you like the show and you want to help support the show, I would encourage you to become a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year or $3 a month. And with that, you have access to our exclusive Legacy Partner page, which gives you over $50 worth of value. And along with that, you're able to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. And so if you think what you hear here is worth 25 cents, worth a quarter, then I encourage you to sign up for the Legacy Partner program. There's going to be more value coming to that page momentarily as I'm trying to work on negotiating some new deals with some discounted some discounts from various vendors, that kind of thing. And if you have a business and you want to be one of the supporters of the Legacy Podcast by offering a discount to your service, I would encourage you to let me know through email at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. That you'd want to be one of those supporters, and I will be glad to consider that, and I would appreciate that. So anyway, that takes care of the introductory segment. So let's now talk about some tips and some hints and some strategies for maximizing the time that God has given to us. We have to use our time effectively if we're going to become builders of legacies, because we're only given so much time here. You know, each day only has 86,400 seconds. And that may seem like a lot, but it goes by very, very quickly. And if we are not maximizing each second to its most potential, then we are not using our life in the way that God has intended it to. Now, that doesn't mean we have to work every moment of the day. There are time for relaxing. There's time for rest. There's time for enjoying family and enjoying pleasures of life and things like that. But certainly, we have to make sure that when it's time to work, we're working. When it's time to play, we're playing, those kinds of things. And so what I have done is I have created, and this is not original with me. I don't remember where I actually heard this the first time from. I've kind of tweaked it a little bit, but I have created a kind of a flow chart or a graph, a window of types to demonstrate the importance of various activities in relationship to one another. And I'm going to post that in the show notes. You'll want to make sure you refer to that, because otherwise it's going to be a little bit more difficult to understand what I'm talking about here. But there are four different activities that we can be involved in, and they are in relationship to urgency and importance. And I'm going to demonstrate that here by using some examples. But on the items that are neither urgent nor important, those would be called distractions. And of course, we have distractions, or we are tempted to be distracted by various distractions every day of our lives. There is the television set, there is emails that you can look at, there are Facebook people you can chat with and interact with, and there's games you can play, and there's, you know, all different kinds of activities that you can do that are distractions from real life. And it doesn't mean that you can't do these things, but certainly they take away from any kind of purpose that we have otherwise. And so I call those distractions. They're not important and they're not urgent, but they get in the way. And then on the items that are urgent, but they're not very important, that would be things like phone calls, where, you know, you may be receiving a phone call and you have to take it right away. You can let the answer machine take it, of course, which is what I would recommend, especially if you're in the middle of something, but and then call back at your convenience at your time. But certainly phone calls would be an interruption where you may be on a project and the phone rings. And of course, now with cell phones and everything attached to our hips, as soon as it rings, we answer. And you know, that can be true with emails too. I mentioned emails as a distraction, but a lot of times emails can be an interruption because if we look at them right away, because we think they might be urgent, then it actually interrupts us from the flow of what we're doing and keeps us from focusing on the task before us. And, you know, someone may be stopping by your office. Some of you who are working in an office environment, maybe a cubicle or even an office setting, and somebody stops by and chats, or somebody stops by and has a question, interrupts you, and you may be working on a project, that kind of thing. Those are all interruptions. Of course, if you're working at home, you get a lot of interruptions with children wanting something and, you know, time to do something else. And then you've got to be interrupted because, you know, one child came out and, you know, I mean, it's just constant interruptions when you're working at home. It's a difficulty there. But those are items that have to be addressed right away, but they're not important. And so those would be considered interruptions. Now, those items that are considered a crisis are those items that are urgent and very important. In other words, they're things that need to be taken care of right away, which makes them, you know, urgent. But they're also items that are, you know, life-threatening or dangerous situations that need to be taken care of because they're important. And, of course, an example of that would be, you know, maybe your kids are playing and one of them gets stung by a bee. Well, that's something that needs to be addressed right away. That's not just an interruption. That's a crisis because, you know, of course, if they're allergic or anything like that, you need to take care of that. And, you know, it's an important situation. You know, I think of an example of maybe something breaking down on your vehicle. That's something that needs to be fixed. Obviously, if you need to get around, if you're, you know, relying upon that transportation to get to work or to, you know, do the ministry or whatever you're trying to do with that vehicle, you need to have that in operation. And without it, you know, you can't do what you're set here to do. And so that it becomes a crisis until it's fixed because it's urgent and it's important. But here's the key. We spend so much of our time with distractions, interruptions, and crisis that we never really do what is important. And the last category that I'm qualifying here is what I would consider a priority. And that's those things that are not urgent, but they're very important. And what ends up happening in our lives is that we rush from crisis to crisis or from interruption to interruption or distraction to distraction, and we never sit down and take the time necessary to work through those priorities that we have. And if we focus our energies and we focus our times in the quadrant of the priority, then we will be able to maximize that time and get done a lot more. And so we need to be focused on what I call mission essential objectives. That is those activities in our life that will lead to leaving a legacy, whether it be discipling our children, whether it be sharing our faith, whether it be, you know, making some money to put away for the future, paying down some debt, learning a new trade or task, or, you know, whatever the important objective is, those are those things that we need to spend most of our time doing and focus intensely enough that we're not interrupted, that we're not distracted, and then we're not jumping from crisis to crisis. Let me give you an example of how some of this interplays with one another. I mentioned earlier how in the crisis mode, it's very easy to hop from crisis to crisis, and how, you know, an example of a crisis would be something like an automobile that breaks down. And a lot of the automobile breakdowns are due to negligence in keeping them in good working order. Now, sometimes, especially as the vehicle gets older, things just wear out, and you can't really tell whether they're going to wear out. They just, you know, end up wearing out. But a lot of things aren't that way and can be prevented by taking proper precautions and taking proper measures and working through those in such a way that they never become a crisis. And how do you do that? Well, you do that by making sure that they are listed among the priorities. And so, obviously, if you've got a vehicle, a priority would be changing the oil on a regular basis. And when you don't change the oil, of course, then what happens? Then you get a crisis where the engine locks up on you. Same thing can be true about changing tires and keeping pressure in the tires and keeping the brakes strong. And, you know, all these kinds of things are just different scenarios. This not only applies in the automotive world, no doubt, but also in so many other ways. You know, children, I think of training children. If we set our minds on doing the priorities of discipling our children in the home, teaching them the scriptures, training them up, you know, spending time with them, developing them into maturity, then the crises that we encounter will be minimal. And yet I know so many families who are now in crisis mode because they're, you know, their child may be in rebellion, or maybe they have fallen into the wrong crowd, or maybe they're rejecting some of the principles that were taught to them through the church, or whatever it might be. And it's all because the priorities were not set from the beginning in the family so that those things were taken care of. And so the more time that we can spend working on the priorities and not allowing the crisis and the interruptions and the distractions to interfere with that, the better off that we will be. And so what I encourage you to do is I encourage you to look at various activities in your life and when you are encountered with a certain activity to put it in one of these categories. And again, you want to take a look at the chart that's going to be in the show notes, but take a look at one of these categories and place it there, whether it's an interruption, whether it's distraction, whether it's crisis, or whether it's a priority. And then set your mind and your focus upon doing those things that are of highest priority. Well, here are just a couple other helpful principles to follow. One is to make sure that you have a prioritized task list. This just follows in line with having priorities and not letting them become, you know, interrupted or distracted. And if you've got a list to follow, and of course, this is best if it's written. Sometimes you can have a mental list, but if you're anything like me, it's better to have a written, because it gives you incentive and encourages you and that kind of thing, but also so you don't forget, and you can post it or whatever and look at it. But having a task list of types keeps you focused. It keeps you on track, keeps you on guard, keeps you knowing what tasks you have to do and what things are prioritized. Now, obviously, you know, you can have certain habits that you do every day. So, for example, you know, family devotions or personal devotions, both of those should be habits that you do every day. You don't need to put those on your to-do list unless you haven't developed that habit first. And then, of course, they need to be on there as a prioritized list. And, you know, list them as you need to get them done, or list them as the importance of the activity itself. And that brings up another principle or another helpful hint maybe, and that is to do the most difficult thing first. The thing that maybe you're dreading the most, that should be the thing that you do first thing in the morning. I've realized that a lot of times if you wait till later to do the things you don't want to do the most, the ones you like least, there you go, then the difficulty is that by the time you get to that, your energy is drained, your motivation is lacking, and you don't do the job well if you do it at all. And so tackle the biggest thing first. And then the rest of the day seems easy as you handle each of the other items there. And so if you've got certain responsibilities that you have to do and you're dreading some of them and they're difficult, make sure that you handle the first one or the most difficult one first, if at all possible. Sometimes your schedule does not allow for that, but if you can do that, that'd be great. And then another principle would be the principle of touch it once. You know, a lot of times we get mail in our inboxes, or, you know, we get something through the mail that needs to be addressed. We need to send something off, or we need to make a phone call, or whatever it is from that piece of paper, and we get it. And what ends up happening inevitably is that it comes into our inbox. We take a brief look at it, and we file it into another cabinet to be done another time, or to another box of, you know, I need to take care of this box, or whatever it is that we use for our filing system. Or maybe you get a note from somebody, you need to call somebody, and so you make a mental note of that. And it's best if we can touch it once, in the sense that don't look at it until you can handle it. And then when you handle it, get it done, file it away, take care of the business, and then go on with it. Now, you have to balance that with trying to figure out what priorities are and not letting the mail or whatever it is become interruptions into the other importance that you have. But again, prioritizing... obviously the mail needs to look at, you need to catch up on various things that people are doing in the office or at your home or, you know, in your family or whatever it is. And so you need to take the time to work through those things. And yet sometimes if we're not careful, we can end up touching the same work 4 or 5 times and never really getting anything done. And so the principle of touch it once then would help with that. And then last but not least, I would say make sure that you have some goals in mind, long-term goals as well as short-term. Now, your short-term goals would be maybe your priorities that you're looking at on a regular basis on your to-do list. But on a long-term basis, you also need to be looking at your long-term goals, your 5, 10, 15-year goals. Lord willing, as He works out His will in your life, you're able to project things out to a certain level and plan and make plans for those things. And when you have goals like this, think in blocks of 5 and 10 years, it really begins to bring things into perspective, and it helps you to, not only work in the trees themselves, but to see the forest amongst the trees, and it gives you a kind of a broader perspective of where you're heading. And it can be easy to get bogged down with the minuteness of life and the various to-dos that are on your to-do list, the tasks that are before you, and to fail to see the overall principles that are there and the impact that you want. And so just for example, when you look at kids, you know, there's all kinds of activities you got to do with kids every day. There's, you know, the overseeing of chores, there's the responsibilities of assigning them to various kinds of work, the training of them in, you know, the Bible, and going over those things, schooling them if you're homeschooling. All these kinds of things are various tasks on a responsibility day-by-day basis. But then you need to look at a 5-10 year. Where do you want your children to be 5-10 years? And set those goals. Mark out those things as mile markers. Be sure that you are hitting those mile markers as goalposts. And by doing that, we'll be able to have more effective lives. And so I hope that this has been an encouragement to you. I think maybe it has been able to stir within you some ideas that you can implement in your own life, and maybe seen some blind spots in your life where you are being distracted or interrupted, or you're not taking care of business where it needs to be taken care of, and your priorities are out of whack or whatever it might be, and that maybe this has been an encouragement to you to make those changes necessary so that with each second of your life, it will not be wasted. You know, the Bible says that we are but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. And whether we live 80 years or 90 years or 35 years or whatever it is, that's a very short time. And as stewards of what God has entrusted to us, our life is the greatest of stewardships. And we need to use that in a responsible way to build a legacy. And hopefully you're doing that. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?